So we got pastries on the table.
We got so hungry because we were doing our other show,
Smart Mouth.
On the Young Turks. Now, I like that noise. No. I like that noise.
Thank you.
I do it too.
Yep. It's not like an uh-oh sad noise.
No, it's like.
I'm going to be here.
Stop it.
I'm doing a little
anyway,
dance.
It's very funny. So anyway, we had some pastries and they brought a box of pastries for us, which was so good because so I was good. Hungry and so were you. We're not always hungry when we come because we're so like revved up and stuff, but we were hungry. Mm-hmm. So I had just the top portion, the first triangle of the croissant, because I was like, I have to get it.
Because
like,
you were starving.
Well, because... because I had to get it into my mouth without ruining the makeup we had just done.
Rooney was trying so hard not to do an innuendo talking about putting things in her mouth.
Because every time I say anything about putting anything into anyone's mouth, everyone's like, could you fit it? And then I'm always like, I don't do innuendo like that. I don't do it. I do it 1% of the time, which is why I'm ignoring you.
She doesn't.
And now I'm eating a muffin.
Awesome. It's cute. So you're listening to Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory. I'm Katie.
I'm Ronit.
And today, we've got some tea that needs to be spilled.
Spill it.
Spilling it.
Spill it.
Okay, so Forbes published this. Forbes is so on my shit. Can the theme of the show be Forbes is on my shit list? Because they also just had that article come out. That guy was like, we should get rid of libraries and open Amazon stores. Because those are the same fucking thing.
Yeah, why would you even give that any kind of time?
Because he's like, it'll save taxpayer dollars. But...
That makes me scared because if it's already in Forbes, does that mean there's actually some momentum?
I think the editor-in-chief of Forbes was like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever read. I must publish it for clicks.
I hope so.
That's my hope. But okay, the other thing that Forbes did that really pissed me off and pissed a lot of people off is they published an article about Kylie Jenner. That alone, I'm totally on board with. Okay. I think Kylie Jenner's cool.
Okay.
I respect Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner is 21 years old.
Yeah.
She owns a cosmetics company.
She has a baby.
Oh, yeah, she has a baby. She owns a cosmetics company that's valued at $800 million at 21 years old.
And she did that pretty quickly, too.
She did that pretty quickly. And you don't do that without some hustle and without wanting it, right? You don't accidentally start a company that then becomes worth $800 million.
Right.
But Forbes also described her as the youngest self-made billionaire ever. So self-made. That's an interesting choice.
Right. Because she's got the power of her family name.
Yep.
This doesn't take away what she did do, but she did have a big, big, big leg up because she's a Kardashian Jenner and because her mom is a momager.
Yep.
And because she has a lot of hustle behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't come out of nowhere. She didn't create all this money from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to her and she had a giant platform.
Yeah. So let me just say, okay. So... okay, so I work with this program called Making Connections at the University of Washington. It's a mentorship program that primarily serves first generation young women of color.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is these are the students who are most likely to fall through the cracks mm-hmm. in high school.
When you say first generation, you mean from immigrant families?
Exactly. Yep. Their parents immigrated and some of them immigrated as well. And some of them were born here.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the students who are most likely to slip through the cracks because a lot of them live in school, like in areas where the schools have like one college counselor for the entire school
mm-hmm.
and they have like a class of 800 or 1,000 students, mm-hmm. right? And so Making Connections mentors these students and gives them basically one-on-one college admissions planning and like career guidance and internship access from freshman year all the way through senior year and then beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I realized going through this program is that even though I think of my work that I did in high school as being mine, belongs to me, my parents didn't do my homework for me, right? My parents didn't fill out my college applications for me. They didn't write my essays for me. I did all of those things. But because I came from a family where my dad went to school and my dad went to medical school and his parents went to college and my mom went to nursing school and my older sister went to college and my little sister was going to go to college, we already had fluency in this environment where we understood what I was going to have to do to take that next step.
Right.
And so even though I thought of myself as like a self-made college graduate, the reality is that I was like favored to be a college graduate by virtue of having people in my life who have said, I've been there before. I know what you need to do. In my parents, in my teachers, at my, you know, private college prep school that I went to, in my college admissions counselor, for whom I was one of 8 students that he worked with.
Wow.
Like, I was groomed and supported the entire way to get into college. Now, I still did the stuff I needed to do, but I don't consider myself self-made college graduate now in the same way.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm seeing these students and making connections where, like, nobody in their family has graduated high school before, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Definitely nobody has gone to college yet for a lot of them. And so when you're coming, you know, imagine if you move to, like, Turkey with your kids and you're trying to navigate the education system there with your kids and get them into college. You would have no idea what to do. Like, what's the difference between the SAT and the ACT? If you didn't grow up here, you don't know. And so for Kylie Jenner saying, like, I want to start a cosmetics company with Kris Jenner is her mom, and big sisters, Kim, Chloe, and Courtney.
Yeah,
like you already have
Kendall.
So many, yeah, and you already have so many media contacts. Mm-hmm. You already have people who have, like, built businesses from the ground up in beauty and media and entertainment, and so you already have so much given to you. You were born on, like, second or third base. You don't necessarily get to have all of the credit for the run you scored. You know what I mean? That it really, really bothered me, that self-made label. Not least because, I'm sorry, I'm talking for like 20 minutes nonstop here. But
no,
not least
okay.
because.
I'm just going to have some more muffin.
Oh, please do. Mm-hmm. Not least because, like, her accomplishment is exciting on its own. You don't have to label it as self-made to make it valuable. Like, cool. That's really cool that you used what you had.
Right. Not everyone's going to do that.
Not everyone's going to do that. A lot of people are just going to be like, you know, the brother Kardashian who parties a lot.
She's clearly worked
know.
And she's had some involvement in the creative, you know, the creative vision of what she wants to do.
Totally. Yeah. So I think it really bothers me that this made the whole story like, oh, now I either have to say, you know, she by saying she's not a self-made billionaire, I'm somehow like minimizing her accomplishment when I don't want to do that. But I also just want to call it what it is. And she's not self-made. She's not a self-made billionaire.
And the reason we're talking about this is because we have a really amazing self-made billionaire owning a company that is now worth $1 billion.
Oh, but it's not in cosmetics, is it, Rooney?
Oh, yeah, it is.
What?
And you know what else? It's owned by a woman.
What?
And you know what else? You know what else? I'll tell you. After I finish my muffin, gulp. The person who started this company is a woman, is a black woman, and she was responsible for runway looks that were like iconic in New York City. And her name is Pat McGrath.
Pat McGrath.
Pat McGrath.
That's who we want to talk about.
It's her cosmetic company, and it's called Pat McGrath Labs, and it's reached an estimated valuation of $1 billion, which completely outpaces Kylie Jenner's Kylie Cosmetics. Now,
So, quick backstory.
So she created her makeup line in 2016, but in just this short time, it became this popular. And as of this week, it accepted a giant investment, and all the people have been talking about her and why haven't you made Forbes? She has this one post on Twitter saying, I just came to remind you that our very own Pat McGrath, a beautiful dark-skinned woman, by the way, is a self-made cosmetic billionaire after 2 years of launching her cosmetic line. Why aren't you making noise about this? And that is from Eco Rue.
Get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Billionaire in 2 years.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing.
And
especially
these people are saying, where is her cover?
Yeah.
Where is her fortune cover?
Exactly.
Her Forbes cover?
Forbes is, after all, the outlet that thinks we should replace libraries with Amazon stores. Really just never going to let that go. So, I mean, obviously their idea of what is newsworthy is a little bit skewed, right? But Pat McGrath is so cool. We were just talking to Anne Timms, who does our makeup for Smart Mouth, and she was saying when she was coming up in the cosmetics industry, Pat was this mentor to her. She was like this role model for her, and she actually worked with her when Pat McGrath worked at MAC.
Wow. I know,
and
it's
then
amazing.
She started creating her own cosmetics in her kitchen and would do like micro releases of her own cosmetics, and they would immediately sell out. And then she started her own line, sold it only at Sephora, and even selling just at Sephora built this incredible following among makeup artists. Now, this was not a line that I had ever heard of as a person.
Not
who
at all.
Wears
in fact, even
chapstick.
Today, I do wear makeup and I go to Sephora, and I have never heard of this brand, which I'm a little embarrassed about because I didn't realize how important it was to the industry. And I'm looking at some of the images right now. If you just search Pat McGrath, there are some beautiful, beautiful images, especially some really off, like a little bit off the beaten path types of looks with makeup. It's not, it's very beautiful and it's artistic as well. And she said in a statement that it had been her dream to create an iconic beauty brand that goes beyond the usual limitations, that lives outside the parameters of what is expected. And I think she's really done that. And I don't understand how I've never heard of this brand. I've never been directed at Sephora to go to her stuff, nor have I seen it. I couldn't believe that it's been in Sephora this whole time and that she doesn't have a cover. And why isn't anyone mentioning this?
God, it's just so much about access, right?
Yes.
And so much about where people choose to shine their light. Yeah. You know, like we're told that Kylie Jenner is successful. Exceptional and accomplished because she's around, because she's in our face being exceptional and accomplished. But there are lots of people who are exceptional and accomplished, like silently in the woods, mm-hmm. being like, hey, I'm out here doing stuff. My company's worth $1 billion. Like, and we're like, no. Kylie did that. Please, Kylie did that first. Like,
well,
no.
Of course, I mean, they're kind of catering to where popular culture is right now. I mean, everyone wants a piece of that young family, right?
Yeah.
She's a young piece of like media.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids, I mean, they know who she is.
What's your position on the Kardashians in general?
Well,
do you have one?
Okay. So I have sat on the couch and watched some of their show a little bit with my kids. It's like completely like eating popcorn, but no, I love popcorn. It's kind of like,
well, that's okay.
It's like nothing. You don't have to, you can just kind of watch it. And some of it is just so vapid, of course, but you can kind of see why it's of interest. And I think it's not surprising that so many young people are attached to this clan and that they feel that these people are role models or icons or this is, you know, at first it's like with Taylor Swift, right? I went to a concert with my kid a couple of years ago and I was sort of rolling my eyes a little bit. I mean, I used to like Taylor Swift a little bit more, but I was like, oh my gosh, this music, or oh my gosh, she's so self-centered, or oh my gosh, all her little commentary between her songs. I was like, oh my gosh. And kind of looking over at the people I was with, like, are you falling for this? Cause I'm not falling for this. And like, how could anyone like this? And then my husband told me later when I told him my reaction, he said, it's not for you. You know, it's for the kids.
Yep.
It's not your audience. Like, you're not the audience, so don't ruin it for everyone.
Do you think that's maybe why Forbes picked Kylie Jenner? Because they assumed that Forbes readers would be,
no,
like,
I guess
that
not.
That's their audience. Is Kylie, like, Kylie Jenner's for their audience, but Pat McGrath isn't for their audience?
Well, I can't imagine that Kylie Jenner would be more for their audience. I mean, she's younger than a lot of the people who would also
that's
be
true.
Millionaires at this point, right? I mean,
yep.
She's not their niche necessarily, unless she was really pushed onto the cover, or maybe because it's a family that makes money still in headlines.
Yeah, I have a really hard time believing that anyone from the Kardashian-Jenner clan was, like, pushed onto a cover anywhere. Like, I'm guessing that they're, like, mad when a baby sea lion is born at the local zoo because it, like, takes their coverage.
No,
and that is,
I mean,
not shade.
No,
I
actually pushed on the cover by their mom. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I,
yeah,
see,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, I like, their family's like, put her on, put her on. You got to put her on. What month is she going to have it, you know?
You know,
like
what?
That.
I have absolutely no, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I almost said quaffle.
What's the word?
Quaffle. It's from Harry Potter.
Oh.
I have no qualm. There it is. I have no qualm. It's
I don't
Quidditch.
Know that word. Okay.
My kid's been reading Harry Potter. I have no qualms with Kris Jenner hustling her butt off. I have no qualms with her kids creating their own careers.
Right.
And such as they are. You know what I mean? Like, And I know that even saying such as they are sounds so like, nah, such as they are.
Not coming but from you, Katie.
I truly, you know.
I think what you're trying to say is that you're not attempting to take away their accomplishments.
No.
You're not devaluing them so that we can talk about somebody else. You're saying that's one thing, but there's also this thing here.
Yeah.
And why don't I know about Pat McGrath? I read a lot of media. I read a lot of celebrity news. I read a lot of news. For this show, for our other show, I have never heard of her line.
I know. And when we said that to our makeup artist, Anne, she was like, yeah, exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
The reason we know about this story is because she was so surprised and angry that Pat McGrath wasn't on the cover.
Yep.
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 And a lot of people are.
That was a real injustice.
Mm.
Got a real problem with that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for another pastry.
Okay.
No.
I forgot to prepare for this segment, but I have three.
But you know,
right off the bat.
No, you know what's great about this segment?
That we never stop talking.
And also that we haven't introduced it yet.
Right.
It's called Unpopular Opinions with Katie and Ronit.
That's why I knew that song.
Yeah.
I thought we were just in sync.
No.
Okay.
So we're going to be talking about some of the unpopular opinions.
You start.
Held by Katie and Ronit.
Katie,
you
start.
Unpopular opinion number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Finding Nemo. Don't like it.
Nemo?
I don't hate you.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm so sorry, Nemo.
Not my
is it the
Pixar.
Shark? What is it? Is
no,
it Dory?
It's just, I think the whole story feels very, it does not resonate with me emotionally.
Hmm. Not even the baby turtles.
The baby turtles are cute, but it feels like Cars. Like I would place Finding Nemo
oh,
on
I don't
pars,
like Cars at all.
On par with Cars as far as like emotional resonance goes.
Do you like Cars?
Come at me, Twitter. But no, I think Cars is also like, how am I supposed
do you know
to empathize
funny
with
about
a
cars?
Vehicle?
Me too. And I'm like, how do they poop? And do they really eat? And yeah. Do they get tired?
Yeah. Like, and the love story between Lightning McQueen and the Porsche, it's like, how's that going to work?
When my kids were small, one of their grandmothers sent the Cars DVDs, and my kids were not interested. I have a boy and a girl, nothing doing. No. And I want to say, I think it's because that there was no natural flora or fauna involved. No. Like, there was just no heartbeat involved in there. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I know they're cartoons, yeah. But I mean, I was like, I don't get this. How can a car be huggy?
No.
You
totally.
Know?
Totally. No, right? I don't like Finding Nemo.
Right.
I don't like Cars.
Okay.
I don't like them.
I will tell you that I don't like gummy bears that much.
Holy moly.
Really?
And I definitely don't like Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, I don't like Sour Patch Kids.
Okay,
either.
Well, I don't high like five. Gummy bears. High five.
Okay. Meh. Unpopular opinion shared by Katie and Rooney.
Oh,
what is it about the gummy bears?
I don't get them. I'd much rather eat a Swedish fish or a piece of licorice.
But a Swedish fish is basically a gummy bear.
Nope. A gummy bear, you could chew like a ball of rubber, like it's rah, 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 rah.
What kind of gummy
wait,
bears?
Wait, are you
are
a green
eating?
Tina with Katie?
No, I'm green with you.
Yeah, that's right.
They're very different.
They're very different. No, Swedish fish, you can sink your teeth into
it's
and bite
of like
a clean
a,
piece
it's more
off.
It's like a pharaoh.
What?
Pharaoh, you know, the ancient grain.
Are you? Yes, I kind of get that. That's
toothy.
I was like, are we
it's
talking about
toothy.
Passover? What is happening?
It's toothsome.
Yeah, but also yeah. Swedish fish are refreshing in a way that gummy bears aren't. Ooh, she's Tina sorry. Tina is
what?
Totally nodding. Mm. It's okay. Go ahead. What's yours? I'm right. You're wrong.
I hate live music.
Oh, my
concerts.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I hate
I'm so
it.
Excited about
I
this.
Hate
oh
it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. My
take me to a
flushing.
Concert and I will instantly age 4,000 years.
Wait, no matter how much you like the band?
No matter how much I
are
like the
band. Are you saying, okay, let me guess. Is it because the crowds?
Yes.
Is it because the noise levels?
Yes.
Is it because you can't find the bathroom?
Yes.
Is it because you might get hungry?
Yes.
And there's a line for everything?
Yes.
Is it because traffic is terrible on the way out?
Yes.
Anything else? Did I miss anything?
I hate when there's like open seating or like it's like a big lawn and people start dancing in your fucking body and you're like, get the fuck away from me.
Oh my gosh.
And then my whole concert becomes about defending my personal
Katie,
space
I
and
soul?
Like I invent like civil war level conflicts with my
wow.
neighbors at concerts where I'm like, this motherfucker in the tie-dye t-shirt, he just keeps encroaching. He keeps encroaching on the right side.
So
this time I'm gonna elbow him in the ribs.
It seems like maybe your control issues get in the way of enjoying live music.
Yeah.
So
it's
like when people say to you, oh, we're going to the Gorge or we're going to Zoo Tunes, you're like, bleh.
I'm like, why?
Okay, listen, I just got an invitation to go to see a band at Zoo Tunes, like a group invitation. Hey, we're gonna go do this. And I was like, not on your life. Because
yeah.
I went when my kid was a year and a half. And I first of all, I don't like crowds. Which I realized as an older person, I don't like lots of noise that I can't control. I think I'm a little noise sensitive, which is weird. But I can enjoy a concert now and then. Like I took my son to a concert and he was so cute and it was so great. And I've seen a couple of concerts in Seattle that I really liked. So I'm not exactly on the same page as you, but I don't want to go to an outdoor music festival. Not on your life.
Hell no.
I don't like outdoor food festivals. I don't like outdoor music festivals. Stay away from the porta potties.
Yeah, don't invite
the crowds and the lines. I can't take it.
Mm-mm.
Whew, that was fun.
Okay, what's yours?
Unpopular opinion. I'm so excited. I just thought about this one. I love it because I know you're going to disagree.
Oh, my God.
I don't like picnics or eating al fresco.
Yep. I don't like picnics.
You don't?
I don't like picnics either.
I love you so much. We're so in love right now.
I know. I don't like picnics because I have them with children, and that is the worst idea ever. So many things that you think sound like fun with children, like let's go apple picking, it becomes a fucking nightmare with your child. Picnics are like that. I don't like, but I love eating like at a restaurant that has a patio. I will totally eat.
And what about like, will you eat outside in your yard? Do you like that?
No.
Let's say the kids weren't there.
No.
I don't like that either. I don't like the distraction of the sunshine if it's too strong, or the bugs if they bother me, or sometimes it's just like too stimulating. But also, when I was a teenager and my dad had just married my stepmom, she said, let's go on a picnic. And I was like, I don't want to go on a picnic. I don't like kneeling on grass. I don't like the blankets with the lumpy clods underneath. I don't like the ants. I don't like the bees. It never works out.
There's like sand in your food if you're at the beach.
I'm sitting there like, wow, this is so awesome, except that I'm not comfortable.
Yeah. Except yeah. nothing about it is awesome. So our list of things that we hate.
We're like, I'm so happy.
We're like Woo! A couple of Grinches right now. Okay. We're like, we don't like music.
Tell me
we don't like picnics. We don't like gummy bears.
You know what else I got to tell you? Is it my turn or yours?
It's my
your
turn.
Go
it's my turn.
Okay, ahead.
Mine is actually a thing I like
okay.
that most people
You're
don't like.
You're supposed to do that. Oh,
no, unpopular opinion.
Got it.
I think that Nicolas Cage is a national treasure. Pun intended.
It means if there's something wrong, those who have the ability to take action have the responsibility to take action. I'm gonna steal it.
What?
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Got it.
Yeah.
I really liked him, and I will tell you, it's the first time I ever saw him. Guess what movie I saw him in for the first time?
The Rock.
No! I'm older than you. Valley Girl.
Valley Girl.
Really, remember?
Well, to tell you the truth, I kind of thought that maybe you and I could,
We could what?
We could get out of here.
God, he's so cute. I was like, who is that guy? And I'll Stop the World and Melt With You mm-hmm, was like the theme mm-hmm. song in that movie. It's really good. You're looking at me with that face that you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking
you
about.
You should
but
see it.
I basically like every movie Nicolas Cage has ever been in,
okay,
except Ghost Rider.
And so you probably also like that Coen movie, right?
Raising Arizona? Oh, my God.
Power to the right.
The first time I met Ed was in the county lockup in Tempe, Arizona.
You're a flower, you are.
A day I'll never forget.
Who doesn't like Raising Arizona? Right. Point
okay,
them out
okay,
to me.
Okay, I like Nicolas Cage. Okay, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you one that isn't funny. Well, okay, first I'm going to give you a light one, which won't be a big conversation. I'm doing two. I think sourdough bread is weird, and I don't like it.
Okay, disagree. Strong disagree.
I have no problem with probiotics or cultures. I love kimchi. My husband just brought me some home the other day. I really enjoy yogurt. I'm
excited
talking about sourdough because it's got
the
culture. I have no problem with strange taste. I love kimchi. Love it, love it, love it. I know we're talking about sourdough bread. I think it's weird. It's too tangy. And it actually makes me happy because otherwise I'd eat loaves and loaves of bread. So when they put sourdough bread on the table, I'm like, thank God I can be carb-free tonight because I don't need to eat that.
You know what? That's how I feel about mint chocolate chip ice cream.
I like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
When my kids are like, can we get mint chocolate chip? I'm like, absolutely. Because I would rather eat gravel than mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh my gosh. It's my very favorite ice cream to get ever.
What?
Yeah. All the time. What's your favorite ice cream?
Cookies and cream.
No, I like that. You know what I don't like?
Cookie dough.
Oh, gross. I don't like it either.
Another unpopular opinion.
Oh, food ones.
Yes.
Okay, you want to do the last one?
Yeah, well, I have it. It's another like celebrity one.
It's good.
I love Tom Cruise.
Okay. Now you feel to me even more complex than you used to.
Right?
What is happening? Okay, this is weird because I can't really paint you as a Grinch because if you can like Tom Cruise, then maybe you're just not very bright.
Oh!
What?
Oh my God.
I don't mean that. I went for the
Shade.
Joke. Can I tell you something, Katie?
Yeah.
When I was in elementary school,
that's how old I am,
and Tom Cruise was coming up, my friend.
Risky Business style?
Yes.
Yeah.
My friend just loved him so much. I didn't know who he was, but she read all the Teen Beat magazines. And then it was so interesting because they highlighted that he had had struggles growing up as a student. And I was like, oh my gosh, what was it? Because he's a star. You know, what could it have been? And it was dyslexia. And I remember back in the day when I was 11 or 12 years old, and that to me seemed like such a big anomaly and such a big disability, dyslexia, and that he would be so honest about it and tell the paper about dyslexia. And I was like, Tom Cruise became a star even though he was dyslexic. And now I'm like, wow, I'm so old because that is nothing, you know?
I mean, it's not nothing to like the kid who's dyslexic, but it's like nothing in the scope of like things that
we can
now
happen
and be
challenged. Yeah, I'm sorry I said that to you.
No, that's
okay. I hope I didn't break trust.
No, of course not. My thing with Tom Cruise, I think he's incredibly hardworking.
Hmm.
I like that he has a lot of female co-stars that are very like more up and coming rather than just like, he's not like trying to co-star with Julia Roberts all the time, where these women that he starts with in these action movies get really juicy roles. They get to be really active participants in the narrative. I really love that. I also think he's probably getting injections of some kind of serum in a clinic in Switzerland because he's like 94 years old, but he looks 30.
I know he looks really
good. He looks
way
better.
But what
me.
About the Scientology and slave labor piece?
I hard pass. Hard disagree,
but
on
just
all
him
of that.
Alone.
Yeah. Okay. Him as an actor,
and a lot of longevity.
I enjoy. Him as a spokesman for Scientology and Scientology in general. Extremely hard pass. It should be said before everyone comes at me. It should be said that I have not bought a ticket to see a Tom Cruise movie in a long time. It's been a long time. I haven't seen like the Mission Impossibles in the theater
either,
or anything,
no.
You know. Yeah.
The last movie I ever saw with him was probably Risky Business. Or maybe Top Gun.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So this was really enlightening for me. And I feel like I love you more.
I love you more.
Our relationship got tested a minute ago when I was an asshole. I'm really sorry
Stop
about
it.
That.
And you just said asshole. You're speaking my love language.
I played the no game, which isn't nice. You should always like, yes, and.
No,
and
but
so,
you, no, but you, you know, raised the stakes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. And also, this was super fun because you're even more complex and interesting than I thought. And I'd love to find stuff that I agree with you.
Thank
it's
you.
Really nice.
Thank you. So we want to hear your unpopular opinion, so come find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mouthymessymandatory, or on Twitter at @mouthypodcast. You can also post them on Instagram and tag us. We're at @mouthypodcast there also from time to time. But as you may have heard in this episode, we're old ladies who don't like new things like picnics, which are just emerging on the scene. So we're kind of slow to start on our Instagram, but we'll get there.
Okay. Bye.